The numbers told the story. They always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, where sports betting analytics live. It's Gil Alexander, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Jeff Parlay is here, Unscripted with the Crack, coming up in just 2 minutes. But Paul Carr, kind enough to hang with us because he's given us his three picks. We'll post it on the old social. We'll do that later. That's how the kids say, I think, Paul. They go, the social. I have no idea. First of all, thank you for sending me the Daryl Green running down Eric Dickerson video from 1986. I remember where I was. Mobay, Jamaica. They were screaming my head off. Okay. So, Premier League, you were here 6 weeks ago before the season started. And I'm just going to read what the odds were at that time to win the title. Man City was minus 150. Chelsea was 5-1. Liverpool was 6-1. Pardon me. And you said at the time that the gap between City and Chelsea, Liverpool, City and Chelsea and Liverpool, basically City above those two teams, was too big. Now, this is narrowed. City is plus 175, Chelsea 2-1, Liverpool plus 350, and the standings obviously reflecting that. So, or those odds reflecting the standings, I should say. Now you say what about this?
I mean, if you want to bet Chelsea, this is your last call to get them at anything close to not being the favorite. Again, plus 200 now. I think they beat City this weekend, even if they get a draw out of this. I mean, Chelsea's next, let me just read you Chelsea's next five games. And you don't have to be a soccer expert to know these are not relatively difficult games. Southampton, Brentford, Norwich, Newcastle, Burnley.
So that's like Jacksonville, the Jets.
Correct.
Houston.
These are all bottom eight teams, more or less. And Chelsea only has one top four opponent before the end of the calendar year. They have Man United at home, and that's it. City has, obviously, Chelsea this weekend. They have Liverpool next weekend. City also has a very difficult Champions League group where they're playing PSG on Tuesday. They have RB Leipzig coming up in about a month. So, and City's already kind of racked with injuries. So these odds are going to flip pretty fast, I think, between Chelsea and Man City. And Chelsea's going to be the favorite, you know, as soon as, you know, Saturday. And if not then, I would think within a couple of weeks. So, you know, again, do you want to tie up your money long-term on a 2-1 shot? You know, that's up to you and your bankroll management and all that. But these numbers are going to flip pretty fast, I think.
Paul, thank you for making the time today. I know you have a thing tomorrow. You're getting on a plane for the first time in 18 months. Safe travels, sir.
I don't know if I remember how to fly, but we're going to find out.
Wear a mask. That's a key. Bring a mask. All right, yep. Paul Carr, everybody, from the Expected Value Podcast. Thank you, sir, as always. Available where all podcasts are distributed, and of course, True Media Networks, at Paul Carr on Twitter. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger, with his own intro music. Where in the world is Bill today? Where's his lovely face? Bill Krakenberger, ladies and gentlemen, in all black. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, yeah, just a little t-shirt and my Kangol. That's me.
My Kangol. LL Cool J, Bill Krakenberger. The two men who made the Kangol famous. I'm going to go with
him. Hey, LL made it more famous than me. By the way, nice guy. I met him a couple times. What a really nice guy.
Ladies love Cool James. And then an actor. had himself a nice acting career. Maybe still does. I'm unaware of his work these days. How you been? Where are you exactly?
Good. How is your week going? Everything all right?
My week is fabulous. I bet tennis every morning, Bill, and it has been splendid. Splendid.
Does that stop? Does that is that seasonal? Like, it seems like I hear you talking about it a lot. So is that seasonal or does it stop and start back up again?
It's pretty much a year round. It's sort of like golf, right? It's almost a full calendar year. Not quite, but it's generally a full calendar year. It's sort of the official ends is coming up here. We do have this extra tournament at Indian Wells, which is called the fifth major, that is usually played in March. It was really the first thing canceled when the pandemic hit. It was even before the conference tournaments when you and I were on the air with Parlay in March of 2020 and all, you know, things hit the fan. But it was actually Indian Wells that was canceled first in 2020. So this year's is now being played in a couple weeks. So we get that extra bonus. But typically it's you have your hard court season, you have your clay season, you have a very small grass court season, and then you go hard court again really through, you know, U.S. Open at the end. Now they're playing indoor hard courts, which is a little quirk to that as well. So that's essentially a long-winded answer to your question. But yes, generally it's a whole calendar year. Not quite, but
remember that?
Almost.
I remember that. That was March of 2020. It was. But I don't know if you guys, well, I know you do, but Jeff, remember that? All three of us were in studio that day. games started getting taken off the board. Was it, I don't, was it March Madness or was it the conference championship?
It was the conference championships.
Kept on getting taken off, and next thing you know, by the time that hour of show was off, the Big East, everything started going, and it was just a total
Jason Kahn, producer number 7, and I, this March 14th, I believe, was the date. Don't hold me to that. It was, could have been March 12th, but we, on the one-year anniversary of that, we played back some of the audio. I don't even know if you're aware of this parlay. We played back some of the audio from that day, and you sort of announcing, and now the NHL, or I don't know, whatever sport it was. Yeah.
Remember, the NBA, because Gobert's positive test was Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Gobert tested positive Wednesday night. The NBA was, that Dallas game was the last one. That was it. Went into shutdown. The NHL was first the next morning. Then it was Major League Baseball. Then it was like, wait a second, are the college conference tournaments really gonna go? And then it was one after another after another after another.
While
and then
we
the
were
Big
on
East
air.
Actually started their game.
The Big East played Crazy a half insane. Of basketball behind us when we walked out of a numbers game at 9 a.m. Pacific.
Right,
it was still going to halftime, and we were all out there like, did the Big East not get the memo on this?
Creighton St. John's first half was Creighton the St. last bet cashed of that college hoops.
It was really kind of eerie listening back because I had forgotten about like the baseball announcement. Like, who remembers that detail? But it was the previous Sunday night. I was flying in from San Francisco where they announced that Indian Wells, getting back to the 10th, that Indian Wells was canceled. And that was sort of like the moment where I was standing in the airport in San Francisco coming back here where I was like, uh-oh, like, it's about to happen. That was, because that was the first, although before anything else, although people don't remember it because it was tennis. But, yeah, that was a, that was an eerie morning, and, you know, the rest is history.
Yeah, that was an eerie morning. Jeff went into witness protection for a year, but he's back, my man.
I knew that was coming. Jeff was by, but this is a true story. That was Thursday morning. No, yes, that was
Thursday.
That was Thursday morning conference tournaments. By halfway through the Friday show the next day, swear this is not making up. By 8 a.m., so 1 hour into a numbers game Friday, Jeff was on his way home. It's true. It's just kind of funny, though.
By the way, Gil, we cashed that coming up at only a plus 110 today, Gil.
Yes, that was going. I want to do something here, Bill. I want to play a video for you, and then we're going to comment about it after the break because I don't think we're going to have much time in between. But this is Patrick Cantlay, a professional golfer who won $15 million recently, FedEx Cup. Cantlay was asked, now you know it's the Ryder Cup this week, and Cantlay was asked by a reporter, he was asked a lot of questions, and he's a pretty loquacious dude. He speaks a lot, he likes to he's pretty introspective, he talks a lot when he gives an answer, very thoughtful. They asked him about his friendships with players, and he talked like for about a minute and a half about that. Oh, I got to spend time with Xander, because I wouldn't have otherwise if it wasn't a Ryder Cup. Anyway, they asked him about this, you know, Europe has, it pretty much owns the U.S., in the Ryder Cup, and a reporter asked him why he thought that was, and here was Cantlay's answer, which has a lot to do with sports betting. Here it is.
I'm going to ask you this as a... Why do you think Europe keeps winning this thing?
So, I've read a few gin books, and how would I... Let's see if I can get it. I get it right. If you play enough gin hands, a 1 or 2% difference in skill translates to almost an assured win over many, many, many hands of gin. But you could have a big difference between somebody, maybe a 60 to 40% skill level difference, and gin is still chancy enough to where you could play 10 hands and lose 6 or 7 of the hands against someone that's much worse than you skill-wise. And so these matches are only played every 2 years, and golf is very chancy. And so would it surprise you if the U.S. went on a similar run to what Europe's been on for the next 20 years? It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, you go to Vegas and you play roulette, and the chances are 50-50, but skewed toward the house a little bit, it could hit red 6 times in a row, right? But that's not abnormal. You flip a quarter, it would be weird if the quarter flipped tails, heads. Then you'd think something trippy was going on. So I try to take a very long-term view on things like that. who knows? The captains are different every year. The players are different every year. The venues are different every year. The weather's different every year. You're really going to ask a question like that and think you're going to get the right answer? I don't have the answers to that. This is my first one.
That's courtesy of RyderCup.com and NBC Universal. Patrick Cantlay immediately catapults to my favorite golfer in the world. That's a brilliant answer, and it's like everybody's heads was exploding listening to it, by the way.
What an answer that was. That was so cool. Here, listening to that, I did not know that happened. So, you know, it's all about long term. It's a marathon, not a sprint in our game, too. So, you know, we only have a 2-3-4, maybe 5% edge on advantage bets. And over time, we could definitely have, you know, 20 losing games. Literally, you could lose 20 games in a week. And I mean, in the end, you're going to be, you're going to win. But it takes volume. It takes that over time. And that's what he's saying with the U.S. So he's drawing a parallel to that. And he's putting the gambling aspect in it with the roulette or whatever it may be, or with the gin. So that was a – I didn't know that I don't really know much about Cantlay. By the way, I know who he is and everything. Yeah. That was a really cool answer.
He understands randomness, right? He understands randomness in a way that the mainstream media doesn't, in the way that his fellow golfers probably don't. They were they were like, I'll give you a shorter answer, Dustin Johnson. I'll give you a shorter answer than Patrick Cantlay. You know, it's incredible. I thought that was a brilliant answer. Patrick Cantlay on the notion of why Europe has owned the United States. What a great, great response. Take that. We'll come back unscripted with the crack man. More right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your Visa free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access to Visa.com data and analysis. You get everything Visa has to offer for only $22 per month. Sign up now at Visa.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger, kind enough to join us from... I was going to say an undisclosed location, but you told us where you were. How you doing, man? What's new with you? What's on your mind?
Yesterday I went to the feast in New York City, San Gennaro Feast. I don't know if you're aware what that is. That's like all the vendors set up little stands and up and down Mulberry Street in Manhattan. It's not like it was when we were kids, maybe, but it's still pretty cool. Yesterday was the Zeppeli eating contest, and unfortunately, I missed that. I got there at 2.
A Zeppeli.
Yeah. The guy ate 38 Zeppelis. It's pretty hard to do. You know?
Oh,
you understand?
My
a Zeppeli,
goodness.
The fried piece of dough.
Yeah.
You know, powdered sugar. The real way to do that, to eat them, actually, is to take a bag that they give you and shake the bag and the powdered sugar comes. It kind of crystallizes into the dough. And, you know, one or two of them and... it's just like, wow. So 38 of them. I don't know how.
Let's see you do that, Joey Chestnut.
Yeah. No. Yeah, those guys. There wasn't really no Joey Chestnuts there, but from what I hear. So, but yeah. Now, so on Friday tomorrow is the first pizza eating contest they're having. They've never done that before. Usually, it's just the cannoli eating contest, which was Monday. So it's
are you participating?
Anything could be talked about here on the Numbers Game.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You know, it's funny, like when it comes to like pizza and stuff, volume wise, I more enjoy like two slices. Like my friends can eat probably a pie. I have friends that are over in I have a friend in the Bronx that can eat the whole pie, and he's, you know, he's 135 pounds. I mean, yeah, but
what a joy!
And that's not me. So yesterday, though, I did get to enjoy the feast, kind of like the old days. They'll walk the whole feast. It was beautiful weather. Boy, the weather's just fantastic back east, like 73, 75 degrees. And you know, it just reminds me that it's more of touristy now, and it's not like it was when I was a kid. You see, in the Bronx, they had their own feast too on Arthur Avenue, the Feast of St. Anne every year. And they have a Ferragosto. They have that at the beginning of September. It's more the real Little Italy is in the Bronx. The real Italians, the real bakeries, that's the real Little Italy to me. It'll always be. But
man, you're making me hungry.
Mulberry Street One is where John Gotti's club was. It's I understand that there's a couple decent restaurants there. Nothing special. There's much more better. There's better Italian restaurants around the city, but that is which is known as the tourist area though. But it's cool just to walk the feast, and I'm gonna tweet that out later.
Jeff, get me a cannoli, yeah. Stat.
Yeah,
so hungry. So why
we really don't have a place in Vegas, Gil.
No,
really
we don't. Yeah.
I hate to say this, I can't name a place in Vegas where I can get a decent cannoli. I don't know any place that pops. Italian bread, very hard to find Italian bread in Las Vegas. There's certain things that we can't get, and maybe it is. It's an old fashioned saying. Everyone said, "Oh, it's the water. It's the water." Well, yeah. Then there is certain good restaurants, so I don't know, but it's hard
water.
To get certain
yeah.
things.
Yeah, the old pizza secret of New York, it's the water.
You have things, too, though, back where you grew up that you can get back home that you can't get in Vegas. I'm sure you have the same kind of experience.
Yeah, like half smokes at Ben's Chili Bowl. That's a D.C. thing, but it's not like York pizza. That's the greatest
right.
thing in the world. While you're going on this eating tour, have you been betting football? Yeah. Have you been betting the NFL or college and or college?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you, man. Someone from DraftKings texted me yesterday. I'm sorry, I don't know his name. Darn it. So someone from DraftKings texted me last night. He's like, hey, dude, would you like to put Julian Edlaw, E-D-L-O-W. So he does a DraftKings show. I am going to go on his show because I'll tell you, DraftKings has been very good to me. I know people at the beginning, there were some problems with, they were cutting down people to a certain limit on the app or whatever. I find the counter limits to be unbelievable at resorts, which is one of our casinos. It is the oldest casino in Atlantic City. I find the counter limits to be insane. I just walk up to the counter. They're taking bets, man. They are taking bets. And that's not just because they know who I am or anything. This is off the street. They're taking bets. So, I am very happy with, New Jersey's rules, and even over at Bally's, which is FanDuel, they had a FanDuel location at Bally's. I went up the other night and bet like four props, which is that's the best that supposedly quote unquote the bookmakers fear. And so I said, well, how much do you take on props? And he goes, well, I don't know, put through what you want. I said, okay, give me four props for $1,000 each, and they went right through, no approval, which shocked me. And then I said, well, give me them again for $1,000 each. I bet them $8,000 on four props. And you know what? This was the book that before I'm look like I'm coddling all these sports books and saying all good things. This was the book that I went to when they first opened and went to the kiosk, and I was betting on the kiosk, and I was betting $400 a prop, and a little supervisor ran over in his little suit and said,
oh, I remember you telling me this. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing? And he said, what? He said, yeah, you're betting over 2000. Meanwhile, I only had 1700. And he said, you're betting over 2000 on the kiosk. He said, I need your ID. And the way he said it, he was just nasty. And I got mad at him and I said, you know what? I'm not giving you my ID. I'm leaving. He goes, well, I'm canceling every one of those tickets. So now that it went from that, me betting 400 a prop, and this guy, having to change his underwears, to me going to the counter betting $2,000 a prop, yeah. And everything with no one said a thing. It was really what a difference. At least right now.
Yes.
Don't worry if it changes. I mean, everyone's taking bets. It seems like to me. Over here.
Yeah. Anyway. Let me voice that for a second. It does feel like there is some sort of, and I don't want to get ahead of my skis, as they say, but it does feel like there is some kind of, cultural shift at a couple shops that didn't used to be as better friendly that are now somewhat shifting. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair because like even the William Hill's Caesars brand, I hear they're not throwing people out anymore. So I know for winning. So maybe things are changing because I just think that everyone realizes in volume, it's good for the business. It's good to have some sharp money in the game. And I think they finally have went from this Euro type. By the way, from what I know, I've never been there, but I heard they were throwing people out over in, you know, Europe and England from the betting parlors and stuff, stopping them from betting. You know, years before, we weren't in sports betting here in Nevada, except for Nevada. And so I think it was almost like a English way or a British way of thinking, mindset, to throw people out that win. They call them punters. To throw these punters out that win. It might be changing over here in the U.S., you know. Asher's gone. Bogdanovich stepped down or, you know, was fired. Now, I'm not saying it was like Nick's that really, you know, from the places that Nick worked in the past, that he took every bet because he's a better. He knows what's up.
He wasn't responsible for the culture.
Yeah, so it wasn't him, but it just seems like after he stepped down and after Asher stepped down, things have changed over there. And that's the biggest club. Let's face it. I don't know. It's probably, I don't know who's bigger. I guess I would have to say money wise, maybe DraftKings in it, but I would think that William Hill is probably the biggest in the United States. So to hear that, you know, I hear from the insiders that they're taking bets now and just not so quick to throw people out. That's good. I think it is a cultural change. I really do. I see the way they take bets. Imagine though, when people say to me and see me and say, what are you doing? You're going to Jersey? You live in Vegas? No, you know, the percentage of people that know is so minute that a place like New Jersey, I'll be able to get more money down. If I bet NFL sides right now too, there's like so many deals out there. PointsBet, I think there's still an advertisement on the show, I don't know, but PointsBet has zero juice in the NFL right now. So if you bet a game, there's no juice. I mean, where do I get these, you know, promotions and deals? And
have you been to Colorado or Arizona frequently at all?
You know, the sharp. There's a couple sharp crews in Colorado.
Oh
right
yeah,
now. That's
there
all
are.
Say.
Yeah,
that's all I'll say. Yeah, Colorado is. Now I should ask more questions about Colorado though, because from what I hear, or in the beginning a year ago, they weren't real big on cash. You bring cash to a counter here in Atlantic City. Colorado wasn't like that. We'll talk about it after the break. They were a little bit tougher on cash rules.
We'll come back. We'll read some of your tweets as well, a whole torrent of those. Right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, unscripted, Bill Krakenberger on a Thursday. Megapod from the D afterwards for those who want to show up for that as well. Right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Tomorrow's episode of the Ron Flatter Racing Pod comes from Arlington Park, where General Manager Tony Petrillo discusses Saturday's final race card in the track's 94-year history. Trainer Robertino Diodoro, what a great name, talks about Keep Me In Mind's bid to pull off an upset in Saturday's $1 million Pennsylvania Derby. Rampart Casino Sportsbook Director Dwayne Colucci. Colucci! Handicaps weekend races. Subscribe now at iHeart, Apple, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher, or download it tomorrow morning at VSiN.com/podcast. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod is sponsored by First Bet. That was tough when Cowboys cut Dwayne Colucci in that quarterback depth chart. Oh, I'm sorry, it was Ben DiNucci. All right, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Here we go. I appreciate all of these. This is from Wilkman. Hashtag soda for NL MVP. We get a lot of those. David Dorman, on the last winless team / undefeated team markets over there at DraftKings, is it dead heat rules if last teams go out in same NFL week, actual time of day? Thanks, guys. Fantastic show. It's a great question. If two teams are left and they get knocked out the same week, what are the rules that apply? We will have to effort that from DraftKings, David. We will be on that. Larry L., jump on soda while you can. I think he's talking to other people. Phil Weiss, nowadays, Gil, we can't handicap the players for the specific awards. We must try and judge the voters. Yes, Phil, I have said that, I don't know, 1,000 times, 10,000 times? You're absolutely right. We must judge the voters. And in this case, and this is why I say with the NL MVP, even though I say Juan Soto's the NL MVP, whether he's awarded it or not, the point of that is none of us know what is going to be of value in the minds of these voters in many of these categories, but specifically with NL MVP, my goodness, who knows? Because the voters aren't the same from year to year, so it's not like we can do a historical analysis of the voters, even if it was open. they change, and we don't know. Is there going to be a contingent of voters that are like, no, you got to make the playoffs for me to vote for you? Is there going to be a contingent of voters who are like, oh, my God, Juan Soto is the greatest thing since Barry Lamar Bonds, which he is. Or is there going to be a contingent of voters that are like, oh, well, Bryce Harper is closer to the playoffs than you were, and Bryce has been pretty darn good, which he has. And I like slugging percentage better than I like all those other litany of stats you gave earlier, Gil, on Soto, so I'll go with Harper. We have no idea. I have no idea. I think he should win. I have no idea if he will win, talking about Soto or any of those guys. Henry's boy, too. Gil, wondering if you saw any Sakari Ostapenko this AM. Sakari looks great. Any thoughts on Risk Teichmann or Cerebes Tormo Benchich? I am hooked on the WTA, Gil. I was on Gojo this morning as a dog and also on Duckworth. I don't have any thoughts on Cerebes Tormo Benchich, but I do like Teichmann against Risk, to answer your question. This is from You Don't Fish, talking about our discussion again about the last remaining winless team. Hey, Gil, I like taking Giants and Falcons both being winless at plus 750. You will lose one, but have a great bet at great value next week. Thoughts, obviously, because the Giants are playing the Falcons. Certainly, that is one way to play it, You Don't Fish. I have heard far worse strategies than that. Cody at Let's Cody 182. Hearing Gil saying he's betting tennis every day but not telling us the picks. Unacceptable. Now, you know I'm very open when I have tennis picks at a U.S. Open or one of the other major tournaments. But it's football, and I'm not sure people really want to hear me talk about my picks in Mets, MBTZ, or in Columbus on the ladies' side. Plus, the matches on the men's side are pretty much done by the time we get on air. Sean Higgs, of course, Bill is dressed in all black. He's the Undertaker, taking the books to the funeral home. Appreciate the shout-outs, both of you guys. Real mentions. That's Sean Higgs, our buddy. And I want to, before we get out of this, Bill, because this is, here you go, here's one. I know it's a pain to get into, but Carmine's at Caesars Forum is the best Italian I found in Vegas. That's J&J Watering Hole saying that. Kiss the Degenerate, two more here because I'm getting to the final one. Kiss the Degenerate, listening to you guys talk about the sports books back east, could they be playing nice until mobile betting opens in New York City in February? Anyways, hope it lasts. Love the show. Thank you, Kiss the Degenerate. And this is from Captain Jack Andrews, Bill. I want to segue into our discussion with this tweet. Captain Jack, who I believe should be the commissioner of sports betting, where there's such a rule. He says, the cultural shift is real, guys. We were talking about a cultural shift with some of these books being more better friendly. Captain Jack goes on to say, I'd like to think we, and by we he means gambling Twitter, had something to do with that. So there you go, Captain Jack chiming in on our discussion. So what he's saying,
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree. You know, Captain Jack's absolutely spot on there because in the beginning, when sports betting came to New Jersey, and you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, I think the Meadowlands was the first place to have FanDuel came in. And I'm trying to think. I don't know if Monmouth Park, William Hill. I just don't know right now what was first. Jack, maybe he'll tell us that on Twitter. He lives in Jersey. I'm 99% positive. So I think it was FanDuel, and they came in with the Euro mindset right away. If you remember, they were like minus 114 both sides.
Yeah, I remember.
And I remember because this guy, I think it's Jeffrey something, he texts me. He's the owner of the Meadowlands facility. He actually got a hold of me. Because I went nuts when I did on Twitter. I went crazy seeing the 114, and everyone else did too. And he sent me a really nice text, though. He's like, hey, this is not me. I really don't know much about sports betting. This is the company that came in. You're kind of ripping the Meadowlands apart and what they've done. And I don't know why, how, or I you know, it's a hypothesis. Jack could be right. Gambling Twitter jumped on FanDuel for having this kind of juice. And amazingly, they went to 110 in about 2 weeks. They said it was a trial thing, and a couple sports books tried this and minus more than 110 on each side, and a couple of them still have it. You know, like I see minus 111 on when I was in Pennsylvania. Where was the place Jimmy Vaccaro worked? He worked at a company that he went to Pennsylvania for a little bit. Outside of Pittsburgh or something, they're still not the best juice on. It seems like the money lines from the Euro books are still terrible compared to the Las Vegas books or the offshore books. You'll find a money line, just like in Las Vegas, you'll find a money line, no, minus 150, come back 130. And on a football game.
But you know what? There's
the
also
Euro books are plus 120. They take an extra 10 cents.
There's also examples, though, and we know this, you and I, from betting in faraway places. I will say this, that I have noticed shifts maybe in the other direction from some of those guys. So there are certain bets that they will, and they're not limiting anyone specifically, they're doing this for everybody, that they will cap winnings on certain things, and they will not take more than a certain amount. You can go back and rebet it, right? But they'll only let you do it in increments. Whereas some of these shops, like a BetMGM, like a DraftKings where you are, we don't have DraftKings here in Nevada, so I can't speak to it, but I know all the stories. But like a BetMGM here, like a William Hill, they will take, I mean, give them this much. I know, again, it gets back to the too cool for school thing. People love to knock certain sports books, and they think they're, like, super cool when they do it. Okay, you're awesome. But the truth is that there's places like, you know, the BetMGM and Will Hill here, I don't have, again, DraftKings to lean on here, where they will take really big wagers on things. And they deserve credit for that now. Like, let's also speak to the good. And by the way, you don't get that in some of the, you know, the legendary offshore shops that quickly. You have to, like, rebet it to get that way. So I think it's worth making that point, too, that if there's a cultural shift in one direction here, and by the way, I'm not suggesting that the two have met, or there's still a chasm between them, but there is a little bit of a shift where the walls are closing just a little, or the gap is narrowing, if even incrementally.
Gil, this may surprise you and a lot of people. Bill Krakenberger really enjoys betting with these brick-and-mortar billion-dollar corporations more than the offshore world. So when we use the word legendary offshore shops, I always think of WSEX, World Sports Exchange, who was on 60 Minutes, by the way.
Yes, they were.
Their owners on 60 Minutes getting millions of dollars in deposits that night and the next day, and then going out of business and screwing everybody.
We never thought they would.
You never see a place like WSEX. So I am not putting the word legendary by any offshore sports books right now in my life. They did it to themselves. Yeah. They had some of the.
I should have gone with legacy, perhaps not legendary.
And I'm sorry, yes. I'm not picking out. I'm just saying. Yeah. Listen, we know the Pinnacle and the Chris's of the world have been around forever. And hopefully will be around forever. They're, you know, billion-dollar corporations, especially Chris. So I'm not referring to them, but there's a lot of shops out there that I'm happier betting here. I know I have gaming commissions to back me up. Usually, I have tickets. I have my mobile betting. I have this stuff that to make sure I get paid. A perfect example, and I hate to use him again, and I'm glad for him, by the way. I'm glad he made these bets. I'm glad he won. The best example is Doug Kazarian when he bet that money and won that $300,000 under the cover of darkness. He got paid, though. So
yes, he did. Yes, he did. We could talk about that if you want, but that's a whole other story.
That wouldn't happen offshore.
Yeah, I'm taking credit for the assist, even though he might not acknowledge that. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up with Crackman right here. Bill Krakenberger at Bill Krakenman with a K right here on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game with Gil Alexander on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Sign up today at BetMGM and enjoy the thrill of victory on your very first bet. The King of Sportsbooks welcomes you to Showtime with the lock of the year. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on either Carolina or Houston tonight. And if either team scores a touchdown, you'll win $200 in free bets, regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use bonus code VISA200 when you make your first bet to take advantage of the offer. Enjoy football like never before with BetMGM's live betting options, boosted odds specials, and daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code VSIN200 to win $200 in free bets if either Carolina, pardon me, or Houston scores a touchdown. The prospect of Houston scoring a touchdown was so unbelievable to me that I said that. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Skill Alexander, Jeff Parlay is here, Bill Krakenberger. I will tell you this, if I'm being honest, and I said this all of last year when I was in Survivor to week 15, that no matter what I'm doing, right, talking to the girlfriend, she's telling you something, hey, I'm doing this. And in your head, you're like, should I pick Carolina or Denver? That's where my head is. Like, even as we're doing this show, even as we'll do the Megapod after this, the run-up to the game tonight, the question for me, should I take the Panthers tonight or should I go with Denver on Sunday? And both seem just uneasy enough to me. But I do have Carolina and lots of teaser legs, as I mentioned. So, you know, you would think based on that, I would just pull the trigger and Survivor, but somehow I'm struggling with it. We had tweets, final tweets. I want to read these. Talking about Captain Jack's tweet that he agrees there is a cultural shift happening, and he would like to think that they at Gambling Twitter had something to do with it. NFL Totals, NFL underscore Totals, responds, we are so welcoming and kind here on Gambling Twitter. And David Payne Purdom, our buddy from ESPN Chalk, chimes in with, I'm on the under on welcoming and kind. And NFL Totals agrees with him. Bainbridge DeWeese, it's football season. No one wants to hear me talk tennis. Literally every numbers game listener, yes, we really do. I know Bainbridge, but it's not a major, it's not a slam. And again, the men's matches finish before the show, so it sort of X's out half the matches. DK, this is from J&J. DK currently has the NL MVP off the board. Maybe Soto's odds are shortening when it comes back. And finally, this is nice. Corbin, hey now, anyone who doesn't want to hear your tennis picks, doesn't like money, when will people understand the money spends the same? We need them picks. And he says some very kind words. Thank you, Corbin. Bill Krakenberger, the name of the podcast, Unscripted. Well, this is the show is Unscripted with Bill Krakenberger here on A Numbers Game. But the name of the podcast, Wise Cracks with Bill Krakenberger, which you do with your buddy John Orlando. Who was your latest guest on there?
Well, actually, the last 2 weeks, because I went to the Raiders game, it was such a cool experience. We didn't have a guest. It's a shame. John had a football player on the Steelers. I'm not going to say who, to come on the show. And I wasn't planning for a guest, so we actually put him off the next week. So, yeah, we had some good we're getting a really good one, I told you, for the playoffs here. We're having Pete Rose on. We've had some unbelievable guests. I'm really blessed.
Wait a minute. Pete Rose is coming on your podcast?
Yeah.
When is he coming on?
Come on. Well, he agreed to come on playoff time. So he said, give me a call during the playoffs, and, you know, he'll give us 15 minutes.
Okay. So, he's giving you 15 minutes. Okay. So how... how in depth do you plan on getting with this? Are you going to play nice with him, or are you going to ask him?
Yes, no, you got to play nice. If these guys are coming on your podcast, you have to play nice. So, it will be just custom tailored to probably like maybe what he does now. What's he doing now? I don't even know. Does he still do the signings? I haven't seen him.
I haven't seen him around town either. Yeah,
I know. Me and Teddy Atlas and myself were together at MGM walking, and Pete Rose was in this place at MGM signing.
I remember that was like 3-4 years ago. He used to, there was this weird place.
There's a place, I couldn't think of the name of it.
MGM, yeah,
it
like so a... we're talking MGM Grand, like towards where the concert venue is, past like that weird food court. And there was this, and there was this spot across, you know what I'm talking about, Jeff. There was this spot across, and there would be Pete Rose frantically signing everything in front of him in a given period of time. So I get that you have to play nice. Forgive me, I want to drill down on this a little bit. Because, you know, if I had Pete Rose here, I would like, that would be such a super thing to have, and I loved him as a player, but I do think, I do think you can ask, you know, in a way that is on his side kind of thing, and it might reveal something, which is, hey, after all these years, do you still feel as aggrieved as you ever have been? And that's not a, that's not like an intrusive question.
Sure. No, he's still, I mean, he's a gambler. He could be seen in the sports book, or I've seen him. I think he plays a lot of horses, so I've seen him in the horse room a lot too. And I've known him from Atlantic City. But he used to bet horses
because I do think now with the legalization of sports betting, right, Bill? Now that PASPA has been ruled unconstitutional, and this is 30 states plus DC, it's legalized. That he must now really be like, oh, look at this. So like history proved me correct. Now, again, if he was betting as a manager on games that he was involved in, I get it, not against himself, but games that he was involved in, that's a different story. And it was the ironclad golden rule you couldn't break in baseball. I get it. And I'm not saying that I'm on his side with that. But what I am saying is I think there is a question in there where you can say to him, right, you can couch it with sports betting now being legalized, say, hey, now that sports betting is legalized, do you really, like, say to yourself, my God, I got the worst of it? Because I think then Pete will start to spill. You know what I mean? Kind of thing?
Yeah.
I'm sort of egging you on. Yeah. I'm not sure you can.
No. You're good. You're right. Listen, the guy's stats and his numbers are amazing. They speak for themselves. The guy should be in the Hall of Fame. Okay. Back then, I know Bart Giamonte, I think it was
Bart
the
Giamonte.
He was all over him. And they really put him, casted him as a villain or a bad person. You know, let me tell you something. That's the way it was in life back east for me up until, I don't know, 10 years ago, maybe less. This was you bet sports. You're a gambler. Wow. And you always think to yourself, wow, that guy's a gambler. He has to be a degenerate. You know, that automatically, if someone says they're a gambler, that's what you think. So there was that, kind of in the closet thing. And, my parents are always so afraid. Oh, my God, Bill, please be careful. You're betting sports for a living. Jesus. And, now we look at it, how it's out there everywhere. Every other commercial here is sports betting. And the daytime, the commercials during the soap operas, they're all aimed at housewives. It's really bad here as far as advertising goes. I think there's some politicians that have cracked down on it because it's everywhere. Just look at, I don't watch a lot of baseball now, but I like every center field of the Yankee Stadium in, City Field. It's gambling is everywhere. It's pushed down your throat from when you're holding a bottle and have a pacifier in your mouth. You know, these kids are all just seeing gambling. And it's so accepted and it's so nice and it's so easy to do. And, oh, don't worry, just watch ESPN SportsCenter. You can be a gambler now. It's out there so much. Pete should be in the Hall of Fame. That's the bottom line.
He should absolutely be in the Hall of Fame. That's, he's not getting any younger. And I get it. What he did was the wrong thing to do, right? Sure. As the manager of a baseball team. Never admitted that he did it that he bet as a player, but as a manager, he admitted to it, not against his team, but for his team. But then you could, of course, make the counter argument, well, why didn't you bet for your team on that specific night? So I'm not suggesting that what he did was right, but I do think that we are, every Hall of Fame, and I say this about Barry Lamar Bonds as well, we are so arrogant to think that we are nothing but caretakers of this institution, a Hall of Fame, that is meant for future generations. It is not up to us to be so judgmental that we do not allow future generations to even see a bust of Barry Bonds or a bust of Pete Rose. Put them in, put a plaque in there, and explain why they were tarnished by some. Some felt that they shouldn't be in there. Explain what, the circumstance was with Pete Rose. He did this. He broke the golden rule. But do not deprive the guy, as he's a living human being currently, of knowing that he got in there. And I think there is some, and I didn't mean to, like, preach about it at the end, but I do think, like, there's nothing wrong with giving him that before he leaves this earth. And you can put a plaque and say, look, this is why he wasn't in for so many years. But that's just my opinion. I just think we're a caretaker of halls of fame. And I think we're super arrogant and judgmental about them to think we should be the gatekeepers for future generations about whether they should even know about Pete Rose. Give me a break. I hate that. Anyway.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. Hey, Gil, I want to switch subjects for the last minute.
We got to run. We got 30 seconds. What do you got?
You got 30 seconds. I don't understand why all the big companies in Vegas don't allow the bonuses. Not only MGM, but like the William Hills. It's amazing. The more volume is here in New Jersey. This is a sports betting capital. They allow all the bonuses here. We need these companies in Vegas to allow bonuses for the customers.
Bill, here's my answer to that as we go out. Oh, they will soon enough, because they will have no choice. They will soon enough once they feel the heat. Bill Krakenberger, unscripted, at Bill Crackman with the K. Thank you, Bill, as always. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Lombardi Line next right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, to play the Panthers in Survivor or not. Enjoy from all of us here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.